is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Brenda Schaefer, Professor Brenda Schaefer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, to help me understand what I missed when I visited the South Caucasus last December following the 44-day conflict between Azerbaijan and Armenia over the torn-up territory of Nagorno-Karabakh, occupied by Armenia since the end of the Soviet Union, now in the possession of the original settlers who were driven out, the Azerbaijan nation population that is looking to return to this agricultural mountainous region. However, what I didn't know when I was in Azerbaijan, and I learn now, is that during the conflict, Iran deployed its military forces into Azerbaijan, especially the exclave of Nakhchivan. Brenda, a very good evening to you. This is all a revelation to me. Iran crossed into Azerbaijan territory while the conflict was underway, while the Azerbaijan military forces were seeking to clear out the Armenian resistance in Nagorno-Karabakh, driving towards Nakhchivan, the exclave on the other side of the Armenian territory. It's a world of map drawing, and so you need to pay attention. All I can say is it's complicated. Turkey to the west, Iran to the south, Armenia to the northwest, and you'd have to mention Georgia and the Soviet and the Russia to the north. This is a very complicated part of the world, not helped in the least by the fact that the Islamic Republic of Iran is a bad actor. Brenda, the presentation I've learned notes that several days before the conflict started, initiated by Armenia, I believe, the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corps was seeking to smuggle large amounts of heroin to Armenia and onto Europe before the conflict started. Has that smuggling, that drug running, has that stopped now after the conflict? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. You know, I think as you mentioned in introduction, the South Caucasus is the meeting place of Russia, Iran, and Turkey. And I think that's probably one of the reasons why you frequently bring news about developments in the region to, you know, to your listeners in your show, because really, this small area has impact on such important regional and global, powers. So things that happen there are far reaching. So, as you pointed out, in the first days of the 44-day war between Armenia and Azerbaijan last fall, the first days of the battle really focused on the areas that Armenia had occupied of Azerbaijan that were near the Iranian border. So, you know, legally, by sovereign, you know, international law, Iran had a large border with Azerbaijan, but this was taken over by Armenia. And so essentially it had a very long border for most of the post-Soviet period with Armenian forces. And this highly suited Iran, despite being a so-called Islamic Republic and caring about Muslims around the world, Iran was very happy with Armenia's occupation of Azerbaijani territories, and among others, used this for extensive economic projects, including building no hydroelectric dams in the occupied territories, used for drug running through the occupied territories, as you pointed out. And the main reason that Iran preferred a long border with Armenia and a short one with Azerbaijan is it wanted to cut the ties between the Azerbaijanis on both sides of the border, which is an ethnic group in Iran, which is about a third of the population of Iran.
And the drug smuggling, has it ended? I've seen drone shots now of the devastation of Nagorno-Karabakh after the retreat of Armenia. Do the drugs still run through there, or can Azerbaijan interdict?
Well, now that Azerbaijan has restored control over its borders with Iran, it's put a big effort to stop this drug running effort. And in fact, since the war, there's been Azerbaijani border guards killed on a monthly basis about 1 to 2 border guards because of confrontations with drug runners from Iran. And this element of Iran losing its route through the occupied territories for drug running is part of this current crisis between Iran and Azerbaijan. And there's even the government in Armenia has reported that it's received an uptick in drug running through Armenia itself with some of this trade trade that's now blocked by Azerbaijan going into Armenia itself or going through Armenia itself.
Nakhchivan is an exclave that is territory of Azerbaijan. Can Azerbaijan now reach Nakhchivan by road?
Well, it's as part of, Nakhchivan is sort of like the Alaska is to continental U.S., so legally part of the United States, but not, territorial continuity with it. But as part of, one of the results of the war and the hopefully peace agreements that are emerging, Armenia has agreed that actually the road and rail in between the major part of Azerbaijan and the exclave, that those direct ties can be restored. And this will make a huge geopolitical change, a short road, but actually with huge geopolitical implications. And one of the biggest implications is that neither country will now be as dependent on Iran for its transit, but both Armenia and Azerbaijan. And Iran is doing everything possible to try to, upset these peace agreements, upset these road agreements, because it wants to maintain its leverage over Azerbaijan and Armenia and to prevent Russia and Turkey from, having access to that road.
Recently, Iran deployed a large number of forces along the Azerbaijan border to intimidate Azerbaijan, knowing that, of course, they were deploying in a region where there are 30 million Azeris who are simpatico with the 10 million Azeris of Azerbaijan. The puzzle here is, what does Iran want? Why did they deploy their forces during the conflict? Why did they deploy that large amount of armor and military personnel? What does Iran want, Brenda?
Right. Well, first thing, during the war itself last year, it's an amazing episode that, on October 17th, Iranian forces went over the border into the conflict zone, military forces, and stopped the Azerbaijani forces, which were on the road from Jibreel to region to Zengilan to join other Azerbaijani forces fighting there. Probably because of this Iranian intervention, at least six Azerbaijani soldiers died because this delayed them reinforcing the forces that were fighting there. This delayed supplies getting there, and Iran set up physical concrete roadblocks on the road, in order to prevent the Azerbaijani soldiers from joining the other forces in the battle zone.
So they wanted to defeat Azerbaijan. We have about a minute. What do they want now? Why this deployment?
I think Iran is playing a very dangerous game, with its own domestic Azerbaijani population, because by raising the threats to Azerbaijan, I think it thinks it can get Azerbaijan to, allow it more leeway in the region. It can keep the conflict going. But in this way, it could actually, slow down the traction of the Azerbaijani minority to the Republic of Azerbaijan. But as Tehran gets more aggressive, as it became clear that Tehran helped with the occupation of the territories, as it became clear that Tehran militarily intervened in the war between Armenia and Azerbaijan, I think it's actually raising the nationalism among its ethnic Azerbaijani minority, and this will be a danger to Tehran.
Professor Brenda Schaefer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bashan.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.